I'd like to show you the desert where John the Baptist was preaching. So if Tom's ready, I've got a PowerPoint. Thank you. I was in Israel just a few weeks ago, and we went to the desert south of Jerusalem, where John the Baptist lived and preached. And there you are, there's the desert. And it's fairly hostile terrain, isn't it? I know John lived on honey and locusts, didn't he? Not a lot going for you in the desert. Very arid and hot and dry. That bit of the desert is right by the Dead Sea. And a little bit further north, we have a look at the next one, Tom. Oh, sorry, this one too, that's by the Dead Sea. These are the cliffs rising up at the side of it. It's not particularly flat, the desert in Israel. You get a lot of these cliffs and rocks as well. And then a little bit further north, thanks Tom, there we go, we get these sand dunes. And this is what John was talking about, I think, these hills and mountains and valleys. Just imagine trying to walk through that, even just the road from Jerusalem to Jericho, which runs through here, winds around. You move us on, Tom. Thank you, there you go. This may well be the road that was mentioned in the Bible from Jerusalem to Jericho. It's just really a narrow track that winds around those hills, down into the valleys, up over the tops of the mountains. It's a very hostile, difficult environment. We've got another one, Tom. This now is what we were asked to do in the desert. We were taken on a 3-hour walk ourselves. And it's not an easy thing to do. We're walking way uphill there. And when you get to the top, you're very, very hot and very, very thirsty. And all it is really is stones and rocks. Give us the next one, Tom. Thank you. And there we are, winding around at the top, round the rocks, and down again. And next one. And here am I. And when I looked at this, I had somebody to take it for me. And I looked at it afterwards and I thought, my goodness, I did look as though I was in the desert. My clothes hanging off me in all sorts of funny ways, and very, very hot and sweaty. It's very difficult to aim, but we've got the next one, Tom. This is what you find now and again, a beautiful wadi, what they call in the desert wadis, with the water coming down in waterfalls and the pool to refresh yourself. And those are the best bits of the desert, the oases. I think, was that the end of that one, Tom? Oh, yes. These are the high hills around, and the greenery there beginning to show around the water spots in the desert. And it's no wonder that David, if you remember when he wrote the Psalms, looked for these places to rest where he could have the greenery and the water to refresh himself. That it, Tom, on there? Thank you. And so some thoughts on our readings today. Paul there prays for his Christian friends in Philippi. It was the first church that he had established in Europe, and he had a deep affection and love for the people there. They had offered him much support in his work, and he prayed that they would have even more love than they already had. He said that they should be careful to always choose to do the best thing, so that they would become pure and blameless in the eyes of God. And as Christians, said Paul, they must develop Christ-like characters, full of good qualities So if we follow the way of Jesus, we should also become more like him day by day. But how can we do that? Let's go back to Luke and John the Baptist. Well, you heard that Luke was very specific about the time when John was at work preaching in the desert. And I know there were some really difficult names and places there. Thank you for reading those. Luke was quite a historian. And we've got a little map that I hope is going to come up okay on screen. There you go. A map with Luke's places in the desert. And you can see how Israel spreads at the side of the Mediterranean Sea there. And through the middle is the River Jordan, with Lake Galilee up in the north and the Dead Sea down in the south. And right in the middle, more or less, you can see Jericho, and just to the left of that, Jerusalem. And the area where John the Baptist mostly preached was down there between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea, on the left, on the west. West Bank it is now. And this is the whole desert area he preached in. Well, Luke says it was the 15th year of the rule of Emperor Tiberius. And Rome had actually ruled Israel for about 100 years prior to this. But it was only since AD 6 that a Roman governor had actually lived there. And he lived in Caesarea on the coast. I don't know if that's shown. No, it's on the Mediterranean coast, probably about halfway up the map again. That Roman governor, of course, was Pontius Pilate. And two of Herod the Great's sons, Herod Antipas and Philip, were ruling in the north of the country. They were very unpopular with the Jews. So were the high priests, not popular people either. And Rome itself had direct control of the south, including Jerusalem. So for the Jews, it was a bad time. In effect, they were trapped in their own country, slaves of the Romans, and yet contributors to their great empire through the Roman tax system. And more than anything, they wanted a saviour. And John declares, there is one coming. Do you want to take the map off now? Or? Yeah, we'll take it off. Thank you. Well, John says the Lord is coming. Make a straight path for him to travel. Fill up the valleys. Level off the hills and mountains. Make the winding roads straight and the rough paths smooth. In other words, remove all the obstacles. Let the Lord through. This event was to be of great importance. John wants people to repent of their sins so that they are ready for the Lord when he arrives. This was, he said, now the time of salvation. Salvation was at hand. And if people responded, then their lives would be changed. They would become good people with love for others. And we can be included in that too, because every time we ask for God's forgiveness, we become better people. The only problem, I think, is that we can never be perfect. I like to think of Jesus always following a straight path from cradle to cross. He asks us to follow a straight path too, walking in his way. But we all fall by the wayside at times. We wander away from that straight path. We hit obstacles, and we have to find our way back. Advent is a good time to think about where we are going. Are we heading in the right direction? Are we ready to greet Jesus again at Christmas? If not, we do still have time to get ready. It's good to take that time to reflect and to pray, as individuals and together as a church, to check in with God. Am I following the right path? Are there some things in my life that are actually hampering me, getting in the way? Are we as a church mindful of the potential obstacles in our way? Are we making sure that we share love within the church, as well as showing that love to those outside of the church, in our community? The church needs always to be moving forward, and as members, we need to study and pray, engage with the scriptures to help us find the right way forwards. And Christian festivals like Christmas give us the opportunity to revisit that story of Jesus Christ and to learn from it and from his teaching. Always there's something new that we can learn, however familiar the story. If you've been to the Church of Nativity in Bethlehem, you'll know that the entrance to the church only allows one person at a time to go in. It's a very low, narrow doorway, and you have to bend down to enter the church. It reminds you of the need for humility before God. And then once you get inside, there's a rush because everybody crowds and queues on the steps to go down to the birth site. But then only one person again can get through that narrow doorway down into the cave underneath the church, the alleged site of Jesus' birth. And once you get inside, you can't help but linger. You want to stay there for a while. Look at the star, maybe touch it. Look at the lights and the pictures, and feel the quiet space around you. And then, of course, as others come in, you're pushed out the other side. I think it's worth stopping for a while at Christmas, wherever we are, just to linger and to reflect on that gift of Christ at Christmas. And just to check that you are following the right path. Amen.